Our first scripture reading is from Job 5, verses 8 to 16. As for me, I would seek God, and to God I would commit my cause. He does great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. He gives rain on earth and sends waters on the fields. He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety.
He frustrates the devices of the crafty so that their hands achieve no success. He takes the wise in their own craftiness, and the schemes of the wily are brought to a quick end. They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noonday as in the night. But he saves the needy from the sword of their mouth, from the hand of the mighty. So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts its mouth.
Our second reading is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 to 23. According to the grace of God given to me, a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw,
the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If what has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirits dwell in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. Do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise.
For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all belong to you, and you belong to the Christ, and Christ belongs to God. This is the word of the Lord.
So I was going through some ideas of what I wanted to preach on today, and I got to be honest, I got a little carried away because I it's about building. If you read the scriptures, about building God's church. So I thought, what about renovations? They don't ever go bad, do they? Well, I went on a site that said, can you notice these renovation fails, okay? So I'm going to see if you can get the first one there. I'm not sure what they were thinking. I notice it's in Russian, so perhaps there's some vodka involved. I don't know. I particularly like this one. It's hard to see, but I think he was slipping off his ladder when he was cutting or had lost his level at that time. Or maybe that's just the way the room slanted. I don't know. And then there are a whole bunch of bathroom ones, and a lot of them made me wonder. But like the one where you have your bathroom in your dining area, so you don't have to go too far if you, have a bad meal. I like this one. I call it the social bathroom. You've got two toilets, and then they put a nice patio set in there for your friends. That's quite nice. That's quite nice. I like that. And then there's one, if you really want to get to your door and you just don't want to get out of the toilet, there you go. You can answer your door and it's right there, no problem. And then you got the rich man's version of that, right there. What I love is the vanity, I don't know what that is, vanity kind of like glass. Like, that's going to protect you from anything. Anyways, yeah, that's quite nice. Now, perhaps you want to move on and have a bath with your dinner guests. I like how it's so Victorian and then they have a bathtub. That's quite nice. Anyways, then I'm going to let you figure this one out. Once you see it, you can take a look close. I'm not quite sure if you haven't figured it out, the toilet paper's in the shower. Which I have a rule that if you have to say excuse me to get the toilet paper, that's not a good thing. And how do they have a shower and not have the toilet paper get wet? This other person I think learned from the same school. I'm thinking that as long as you're not a guest, you'll know what's in there. So I like this one in particular. I call it the throne. Potty with the view. I don't know who fits on this one. Yeah, seriously. And what I like is you know someone's using it because you can see the cleaning stuff around it. So I have no idea how that one works. Of course, perhaps you're on a budget and you're concerned about that. Perhaps that will help you. Yes, that's quite something. Of course, you got the stairwell that goes to nowhere. That's quite nice. You got to think, who thought this up? Now, I'm not a construction expert. I want to let you guys know that right now. So I got to say, I was really careful about this, but I'm pretty sure this is a bad idea. I'm not an expert, but... Now, of course, you might make a mistake, so you can you can fix it even halfway through. That's fine. Or this guy who cut out his brick so his door would open. That was a good idea. And then, of course, it's not just inside. You've got the outside guy. I don't know. He must love trees. Not sure how much garage use is getting used. I think he did this one as well. I think this was when he started his career. You know, just right there. Anyways, and not to go on too far, but this was my favorite. I'm not sure how you get into that garage. Yes, they are all failures. They built wrong. Can we all agree with that? Yeah. And what's funny, and we can laugh, but what we can't laugh is when someone's building something that affects people's lives. Like the church. And when they build it, and they build it wrongly, we see the fruit, and it's not a funny mistake like a bad place toilet. It's souls that have been damaged. And Paul absolutely is concerned today that this doesn't happen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you for your love. We ask you to open our eyes and our ears. Give us wisdom and insight so that we can see how this speaks to us, even today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've gone over what's been going on in Corinth. Corinth has a backwards spirituality. Corinth is, and I showed this last week, has this view that there's this basic, lowly humanity. Basic lowly humanity is flesh. It's not spiritual. It doesn't have super knowledge. It doesn't have spiritual experiences. It's not powerful. And so this church in Corinth desperately wants to have what they call sophists and Gnostics. Those who know wisdom. Those who know knowledge. These special knowledges. And they wanted to grow and float off the earth in their spirituality. They wanted to be so spiritual that they could be greater than the pagans around them. That was their word. That was their way. And up against this came Paul. Paul, the man who in Philippians 2:6-8 had a wisdom from God. And he said it this way, that God was in the form God, but he did not regard equality to be grasped at, is the Greek. But he went down, went, emptied himself, became human, embraced weakness, even death on a cross. So right away in Corinth, you have a battle going on between Paul and the Corinthians. One wants a spirituality where they can stretch off and touch the stars. Paul's saying, actually, a spirituality from God is a humbleness and an earthliness. It's about being truly human. Well, the reason this is so important to Paul is he realizes there's a practical fruit of the belief system you have. One of the things I will always say to people is a bad theology affects your life as much as a good theology, because you do what you think is true. And it's certainly happening here. You see, what we're going to see in a second is that because they're looking for the spiritual high, they're looking for leaders who can lead them to the high, the seven steps to being a top-notch Christian, they're now debating who's the one with the best formula, with the best knowledge, with the best wisdom. And they're starting to argue amongst themselves and split themselves. Of course, you've never heard of a church split before, I'm sure, but in this particular case, they're splitting because they're looking at the people as these kind of people to follow. And it says here, when Paul starts this section, he says, "And so, brothers and sisters, I could not speak to you as spiritual people." Right away, he hammers them. They have not arrived because they have the wrong view of spirituality. So even though they're aiming for these esoteric experiences, these esoteric knowledges, he says, you're not spiritual at all. But rather as people of the flesh, because for Paul, people of this world are people that are always trying to climb the ladder. As infants in Christ, whew, that wasn't a compliment. I fed you with milk. In other words, I didn't even give you much of the gospel. Not solid food, for you were not ready for solid food. Even now, you're still not ready. For you're still buying into that system that I am going to be greater and greater if I follow the right super spiritual person. This should be right here enough of a condemnation against televangelism. This should be. Even now, you're still not ready. For as long as there is jealousy, and here you go, this is the fruit, and quarreling among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving according to human inclinations? For when one says, I belong to Paul, and others, I belong to Apollos, are you not mere human? Are we not mere human, Paul could say. You're looking for significance in this world, with people of this world. And that's why you fight. Every fight I've seen in a church is because the system is wrong. Because it's been preached one way or another about climbing the ladder rather than humbling oneself and getting one's way. So Paul gets to the text today, and here he fires in the metaphor of a builder. Look at the first five words, or six words, according to the grace of God. Look at Paul's view of himself. It is not that he is a great sophist. It isn't that he's a great knower. He doesn't have great Gnostic. He's not coming in as the super guy on the stage of 5,000 with a sequence suit. He's coming in by the grace of God. In other words, he doesn't have any of this in himself. Given to me like a skilled master builder. It was given to him. I laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. In this case, Apollos. Each builder must choose with care how to build on it. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that's been laid, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. The foundation of the church must be always Jesus Christ and his cross. Because Jesus Christ and his cross is the opposite of human. What's the word I'm looking for? Well, you get it. No, you don't, because I didn't say it. Human achievement through spiritual abilities. Then he goes on stronger. He says, now if anyone builds on a foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, so he uses some that'll burn, some that won't. The work, and this is all a metaphor, by the way, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it. The day of the Lord is an Old Testament concept where they're waiting for a day when the Lord returns. And it's going to be, for some people, a great day of excitement, and other people biblically are going to mourn because they have lived their lives for things that are not. And that's what he's saying here. This day is going to come, and if you build your church on something other than Jesus Christ, it will burn up. Because it will be revealed with fire, as he says, and the fire will test what sort of work each has done. If that has been built on the foundation survives, the builder will receive a reward. This is crazy. Here's the God who saves you by grace, but if you walk faithfully, even though you don't deserve salvation, there's still a concept of reward in this, just for being faithful. If the work is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved. Interestingly here, the grace of God can't even take away from that. But only as through a fire. In other words, they're going to come out of there smelling like smoke. So if you're building the church, Paul says, on anything but the cross, on the Jesus Christ, then you can be destroyed in the end. Oh, you might be saved, but you'll have nothing. That's his picture. He goes one step further to the theological metaphor of his Jewish people. Do you not know that you are God's temple? Now right away, I want to tell you, this isn't about you working out. I've heard it preached this way, that you are God's temple, so you better get in shape, and don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go with those who do. Okay? Because you're God's temple. Here's the problem with that. It's the you are is y'all. Okay? See, in America, we could do this better. So there's some things that are better about America, okay? But we don't have a way of saying you plural. But what he's saying here is all of y'all together are the temple of God, and the God's spirit dwells in y'all. Okay? If anyone destroys God's temple, in other words, if anybody comes into that temple building on something else, and this is one of the strongest warnings in Scripture, God will destroy that person. That's scary. That's meant to be there to make us wonder. Some people often ask me, well, what's going to happen to that televangelist who asked for thousands of dollars from little seniors who they're giving their last $5 of their pension. You know the ones. Well, I always remember the Robin Williams skit, which I will do without swear words. And he does the televangelist up on the stage. He's like, hello, everybody. If you give me your $5, we will have all your faith will get you into heaven when Jesus returns. What? He's here? The seriousness of that joke is that God is just. There is no game playing with God. What God takes more serious than anything is how you treat his people. And that can be really tough. For God's temple is holy. In other words, it won't be sullied. And you all are that temple. He's not saying you have to be perfect. He says you have to be based on Christ and the cross, which will lead you to be love and humility. And he goes back, and we know this is what he's talking about, because he says, do not deceive yourselves. If you think that you are wise in this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. How many people in our age think they're wise? That they have knowledge. They mock other people. They mock people of faith. Have you run into that? Because they're wise in this age. Paul's saying here, if one of us think we're like that, here's an idea, dummy down. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is as it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. What we saw in Job. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. So let no one boast about human leaders. Amen? Especially political human leaders. Lord, love me in this day and age. I'm from Trump. I'm from Pelosi. Like, oh, come on. Do you not know? No, I won't say it. For all things, and this is the best part, it looks like the world is run by someone else, but then he wants to end it. Because once you realize you got everything, you don't have to fight anymore. You ever found that your kids fight if they both have one thing they want? And sometimes you're sitting there going, why do you fight? Because they have all things in the house? Well, he's saying to us, why are you fighting? For all things are yours. God's given you everything. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death, even death is yours. It's been conquered. Or the present or the future, all belong to you because Jesus Christ, it belongs to him, the resurrected Messiah. And you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to you, so why would you be embracing this foolishness where you're trying to grab at wisdom and knowledge and spirituality when it's already yours, the ultimate end? You have it. The biggest problem I have in the church when I'm preaching is not that you don't have it, it's that you don't believe you have it. We tend not to believe the truth of the gospel that says, it is finished, it's finished, you're a child of God. You already have eternity. Well, you say, I don't feel like I do, Emery, you don't know me at some nights, and I say, oh yeah, I do, I know me. But it doesn't matter, that's the crazy thing. He has given us all by grace everything. I mean, I want you to think about it for a sec. We are the temple of God. Do you know what that means? It comes from the Old Testament. The temple was built and the view was that there was a temple in heaven. And heaven and earth were like two dimensions. It wasn't sitting in the sky. That was a pagan view. And these two dimensions that were separated from the creation narrative, once in a while they would come together. And that's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. As it is. That's what we're praying for this moment. And the times we see it is like when Solomon's temple was being anointed, being prepared, inaugurated. And all of a sudden the cloud came down and all of a sudden the membrane came together and heaven and earth came together. Well, here's the truth. It was never meant to be a building. It was meant to be people. The first temple was Jesus Christ because he's the first one that heaven and earth came together when the Spirit fell upon him, right? But we now are the temple of God. You say, Emery, look around you. We're not that smart. We're not that great. We're pretty pathetic. How can we be the temple of God? I'll tell you why, because he chose it. The truth is, we're more than you think. We're more than I think. Because the reason we don't believe it is we still, if we're honest, buy into that spirituality that goes up. But N.T. Wright is so right. Those in whom the Spirit comes to live are God's new temple. They are individually and corporately where heaven and earth meets. You are the example of what's to come. We are the example of what's to come. But we keep buying into a system that thinks we have to be a certain spirituality to be that. And that's the mistake. Because we don't believe in the wisdom of God. Because I tell you the truth, the temple is based on the wisdom of God, which is the cross. We are the temple of God, but we're not like the temples of this world where you have to climb to become the chief priest. This temple that we're a part of is based on God's wisdom. And God's wisdom was that God came down to earth, even died on a cross. It's the upside down kingdom. Think of who our king is. He sits on his knees and washes the feet of his disciples. Do you see? No king in this world does that, do they? I mean, the great Karl Barth says, Jesus Christ is master of all as the servant of all. He didn't just do that on his earthly mission. He did that because he wants to serve. He's loving and he wants a church that serves and is loving. But don't doubt because he wants to serve that he isn't the king. And don't doubt that we in our brokenness aren't the temple. Eugene Peterson said, the church is the primary arena in which we learn that the glory does not consist in what we do for God, but in what God does for us. We are the temple not because we were so great, but he is that great. And a church that's based on the cross that has its foundation in Jesus Christ is a church that believes that Jesus Christ has done everything for us. Everything. We already have everything. You don't have to fear death. That's pretty incredible, right? You don't need the next great Christian leader to write a super spiritual book so that you might be a little more spiritual. You see, what the cross does for us, every time we look at it, is it reminds us who we are and who he is. And if we base our church on the cross, then we can never live in this prideful, I'm a better than other people. John Stott said, every time we look at the cross, Christ seems to say to us, I am here because of you. It is your sin I am bearing. I am your curse I am suffering. Your debt I am paying. Your death I am dying. Nothing in history or in the universe cuts us down to size like the cross. A church that is based on the cross and Jesus Christ does not have a place for people who think they're better than each other, let alone looking around going, I'm with Emery, I'm with, I don't know, one he is. You see what I'm saying? Because we realize we're all here because of one thing. Grace. The temple of God, the holy temple, the one that God decides to hang out with is full of people that need him. I have to tell you something, and it took me a few years to figure this out, but God is not up in heaven thinking to himself, gee, am I lucky I have Emery. I know that might surprise you. But he's not going up, oh, Emery's sick today, I don't know about him. Oh, my church, what's going to happen? By grace, God made me a child. By grace, he died for my sins. By grace, he embraced me and he put me here. And by grace, I keep doing this, but it's nothing but grace. There is not one part of God that says, wow, Emery is got it. And boy, my gospel wouldn't get through without him. And it's the same with you. You are welcomed here because God loves you. You might say, I'm insignificant. Oh, then embrace it because you're closer to God than you could imagine because he embraces the insignificant. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, it is grace, nothing but grace, that we are allowed to live in community with Christian brethren. I hear people saying, oh, I don't know if I want to go to church today. I don't know, man, is the church entertaining enough? Is it going to, who's preaching? And what about the music? You know, I think that's crazy. I really do. I think it shows we don't get the gospel. If you knew what God has done for you in your life, if you knew that right now you were sitting here in the presence of God, if you believed what Paul is saying here, you'd be like, woohoo! Sorry. But you would. You would be so pumped that you were actually allowed to be here. It's our consumerist culture that says we must buy and choose as if we're God. The truth is, the gospel's so clear. I was loved. He loved me. That's incredible. Have you ever met new Christians? I love them. They'll drive you nuts, by the way. Because they'll be like, oh, can you believe it? I was reading the scriptures. And John 3:16 says, he'll love the whole world. I'll be like, yeah. Yeah, just calm down. Can't we? Why are not people going to church? I've had that. Right? Has anybody else experienced that? Because they get this gospel, their foundation is still on Christ. And that's why it matters so much how we build. God cares about how we build the temple. God cares on how the foundation we lay here. Now, I've been in churches of all kind. I'm going to share one with you. In the church I had to go to, this is a job I have to do, where I go in, it's called a commission. And in our system, if a church is having conflict, okay, you go in and you try and solve the issue. This particular church's issue was quite interesting. The fight was, the worship leader, or the choir director in this case, had been there 20 years. The minister was new. The argument was who got to walk into the sanctuary first. The organist, who'd been there 20 years, or the minister. Well, the minister had the degrees. He was ordained. He thought he should. The organist said, but I run the choir. No choir, no service. Now you guys, how bad do you think that got? Really bad. So guess what I did? I preached this text. And I emphasized, he who would divide God's temple will be destroyed. And I thought, that'll do it. Nope. Got out to coffee time and the pastor people were on one side and the choir guy people were on the other. See, what happens is we start to believe in following people in our systems because we forget that, darn it, aren't we glad. That choir director should have said, you go right ahead, man. I'm just so lucky to be here. And the pastor said, no, you go. They should have been fighting on who gets in first. Right? Amen? All right. I just want to make sure you're listening. And by the way, we can do this with all the ways we build churches. There's all kinds of crazy ways. Gordon Fee, it's unfortunately possible for people to attempt to build the church out of every imaginable human system, predicated on mere worldly wisdom, be it philosophy, pop psychology, managerial techniques, relational good feelings, or what have you. But at the final judgment, all such buildings will be shown for what it is, something merely human with no character of Christ or this gospel in it. I remember Gordon was saying to me one time, Emery, just because Jesus is on the sign at the door doesn't mean he's in the building. Amen. I've been in churches where spiritual gifts. I've been in some churches where it's getting the right nuanced theology. They're building on something but Jesus Christ. But when Jesus Christ is your foundation, you are grace, grace, grace. And everyone gets to show up then. And guess what? You don't get to keep your own spot in your pew every week. I'm speaking to the old timers here. See, now I may have lost everyone. The incredible truth of this, though, I want you to note, is there's a day coming, and the church is what's going to survive. See, this temple is an eternal temple. And it doesn't feel like it right now, because we live in a temporal world where there's lots of evil and stuff, but this church and all the churches around that worship Jesus Christ will be eternal. And it matters what you do now. It matters how you build within this church, relationships, family, and what you do out in the world. And if you do follow the cross and you do come humbly and serve, there is a reward. Henry Nouwen, I read this and I was challenged. Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. I must trust that that little bit of love that I sow now will bear many fruits here in this world and in the life to come. This is an eternal temple. If we build it on Jesus Christ, then I promise you, we'll be blessed. If we build it on anything else, it'll burn and we'll come out smelling like fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've been so good to us. Each one of us come from places of sin and brokenness. Each one of us have bought into the world where we could just be a little better, be with somebody better, be greater. And we've bought into it in our lives. We repent. Lord Jesus, I pray for Mountain View Church that the foundation always is the cross and Jesus Christ. That we built it on grace alone. That we encourage and equip the weak and the broken and not see them as a burden. That we give to the hungry and the needy. I pray we're a church that when people come by, they say, wow, they've been with Jesus. We thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.